Hi class, let's learn a very important topic of the Information Technology Act 2000. We are going to learn this topic under these headings like introduction, digital signature and electronic signature, electronic governance, electronic records, controller and certifying authorities, cyber regulation appellate tribunal. And finally, we are going to learn about adjudication, penalties and compensation. Well, before 90s, we have seen most of the records were in paper form in most of the organizations, and we had to have storage of these records in various files, and we have to have a lot of storage space required for these things. But after 90s, when the computers and such things have started coming, what has happened? With the advent of electronic systems, the paper based methods of communication and storage of information on paper files is gradually becoming less and less, and maybe a day will come where it will become totally obsolete. All the records will be only in electronic forms. Information Technology Act 2000 was enacted to prevent any problems of these electronic records, whereby there can be some people taking illegal access to these records, modifying these records to their own advantage, stealing certain things from these records, or misusing them. To prevent these things, Information Technology Act 2000 was enacted, and as the days went ahead, newer and newer problems were coming, and to sort out those problems, the Information Technology Amendment Act 2008 was enacted, and it came into force from 27 October 2009. We have been using in computers and such related electronic systems one of the most important aspect of having the data with the help of data-based information system, in short known as DBMS, which is an integrated software system that facilitates to access various things, to enter these things in the electronic records with ease, as well as if we want some modification of them, we can delete certain things and edit it, or we can delete it totally also. Now, to grant legal recognition and transactions carried out by means of electronic data exchange, known as electronic commerce, the government has enacted Electronic Information Technology Act 2000. To give legal recognition to digital signature as well as to electronic signature for authentication of any authentication required, also this act is going to help us. It helps in facilitating electronic filing of various documents with government departments. Well, as we know, government in India and anywhere, it has got lot of records to be kept for various aspects, and if we are going to keep all these records in the form of gazettes, in the form of various files on paper based aspect, it is going to create a lot of havoc to search them, to archive them whenever needed. So, this electronic filing of documents is very important in various government departments, and hence to facilitate this, the Information Technology Act has been enacted and amended so that no misuse can occur with these electronic files, and to facilitate electronic storage of data. Now, whatever electronic records are generated by various officers, various managers, various people. It can be a clerk also. One should have a legal sanction on these electronic data. Otherwise, people will say that it can be modified easily, there is no security, and hence paper-based record only will be required in legal terms. Well, to prevent these kind of aspects, it has been legalized by this act that electronic data, and even in case of banking and other commercial transactions, even the fund transfers can occur through electronic fund transfers through the banks as well as various financial institutions. That is how we have got now net banking, whereby we can transfer our funds from one account to other, or to our clients, to our own account in the other bank also. To give legal recognition for keeping books of account by bankers in electronic form. Earlier days, as all of you know, we were having passbook system where every now and then we were going to the bank clerk to update the passbook for our accounts. But nowadays, electronic accounts are available where we have got the user ID and login for this and password for this, whereby through net banking we can access our accounts details and get the statement electronically. Just take a printout for yourself if you want, if you want to show it to somebody else. Otherwise, even in electronic form, everything is available to you, no need to visit the bank and waste your time for these kind of things, which has made us our life very easy. Now, the act applies to various parts of India, as we know, and in various aspects it is going to apply, but there are certain aspects where this act is not going to be applied. One is a negotiable instrument other than a check, as defined in section 13 of the Negotiable Instruments Act 1881. It shall, however, apply to electronic checks and the truncated checks as defined in section 6 of the Negotiable Instrument Act 1881. A power of attorney as defined in section 1A of the Powers of Attorney Act 1882 also, this act does not apply. A trust as defined in section 3 of the Indian Trusts Act 1882 also, this act does not apply. It also does not apply a will which is been made by any person. Usually all elderly people are told that they should make will before, as early as possible, because you never know, man is mortal, a person can die anytime, then there will be a problem for their legal heirs. There is likely to be a fight among them to acquire the property as well as the finances of that elderly person who has died. Or even a young person may die. So, it is always better to make a will. Now, as far as the will is concerned, which is as defined in clause H of the section 2 of the Indian Succession Act 1925, including any other testamentary deposition, this act is not going to be applied. Any contract for the sale or conveyance of immovable property, or any interest in such property under section 1 and the first schedule of the Act of Immovable Property Act, this Information Technology Act 2000 does not apply. The Information Technology Amendment Act 2008 came into force from 27th 10th 2009, that is 27th October 2009, and the advisory committee has been established under section 88 for this act. With this, let us learn about the digital signature and electronic signature. We have been seeing various documents in today's world, where the documents, electronic documents, have been authenticated by digital signatures. And it is a valid signature as per the Act, Information Technology Act 2008. So let's understand what we mean by digital signature. It's an authentication of electronic record by a subscriber by means of an electronic method or procedure. Now, it's a kind of procedure which has been developed whereby we can develop the authentication of whatever electronic data has been recorded. It is the right data given by the subscriber and nobody else, and it has not been modified by anybody else. That kind of authentication is given by digital signature. Now, how we are going to produce this kind of digital signature? There are two aspects in this. One is asymmetric crypto system and the other is hash function. With the help of these two aspects, we are going to develop what is known as digital signature. Use of asymmetric crypto system and hash function, which envelop and transform the initial electronic record into another electronic record. First, we apply hash function in the signer's software. The hash function shall compute a hash result of standard length which is unique to that particular electronic record, whereby nobody else can modify this, and hence there is authentication of the digital signature. Now, how we are going to authenticate the electronic data that has been made? One is, it is created by and verified by a procedure, cryptography. Now, where we are using two kinds of keys, one is public key and the other is private key. Use of public key cryptography and the private key is the one which is with the subscriber who has developed this, and public key is the one which is given to the authority, certifying authority, and with the public key we can then open it. So, verification can be done by computing a new hash result of the original electronic record by means of the hash function used to create a digital signature and by using the public key and new hash result. So, digital signature certificate should be taken from certifying authority. Now, what are the representations upon issue of certificate to be done? One has to apply to the certifying authority, one has to give the public key to them, and the public key is there with the digital certification authority, and hence the certifying authority is going to give you a legal authority to use this digital signature, and it is confirmed that legal ways it is an authenticated electronic data from the subscriber that is there wherever it has been at the end certified by the digital signature. Expiry of digital signature certificate automatically occurs after the expiry date given by the certifying authority. Fees for issue of digital signature certificate are as prescribed by the central government, which may be periodically modified. Digital signature certificate standards are to be followed whenever you are going to use this digital certificate. Now, what are the contents while applying for the digital certification? One is serial number, algorithm identifier, issuer name, validity period, name of subscriber, public key information. All these details has to be given to the certifying authority, and one has to generate this electronic digital certificate initially with the help of private key and with the help of hash function. One has to see to it that it is regenerated with the help of hash function, and the public key is the key with which we can open this. So, there should not be any compromise while making this. There should not be any modification of the results, and if the certifying authority feels that there is some compromise done or there are some modifications done, it can revoke the digital signature and suspend it and it also helps in archival of this whenever in future it is to be reinserted when the certifying authority is satisfied with that. So, with this let us understand the second aspect of this, and that is electronic signature. Well, digital signature is also part of electronic signature only. So, by the Information Technology Amendment Act 2008, which came into force from 27th October 2009, electronic signature have been introduced to provide for alternate technology to digital signatures. Well, authentication of this electronic record by a subscriber by means of the electronic technique, which has been specified in Schedule 2 of Section 2.1d. Now, any electronic signature or electronic authentication shall be considered reliable if and only if the signature creation data are within the context in which it was used. No other context can be used for this signature creation data. It should be linked to the signatory or the authenticator and no other person. Nobody else can modify this except the authenticator. The signature creation data or the authentication data were at the time of signing under the control of signatory, the subscriber who is the signatory, or the authenticator, or no other person. These are the caveat one has to remember. Now, any electronic signature or electronic authentication shall be considered reliable if any alteration to the electronic signature made after affixing such signature is detectable. Only when you can detect with the help of, when you are using the public key to open this, and immediately you can detect that there is some modification done by somebody else and you are not able to authenticate this, then you can be, the person can be caught that there is some modification and now this authentication of electronic data is not valid. Any alteration to the information made after authentication by electronic signature should be detectable also, and it should fulfill whatever other conditions as prescribed by the controller of the authentication certifying authority. Well, there are rules in respect of electronic signature which has to be followed by the people. Electronic signature certificate, any person may make application to the certifying authority for the issue of electronic certificate. And certification practice statement should be issued by the certifying authority whenever the certifying authority is satisfied with all the documents given by the subscriber and the prescribed fee has been paid by the subscriber. Well, how you are going to have the electronic signature? There should be generation of pair of keys, one is private key and the other is public key. One, on acceptance of digital signature certificate, control of private key will be with the subscriber, and to extend the facilities to decrypt the information, one has to give the public key to the authority of the digital certificate certifying authority. The subscriber or the intermediary or any person who fails to assist the agency in finding out all the details required by the certifying authority can be punishable with imprisonment for a term which may extend up to 7 years and shall also be liable to fine under section 69. With this, we are going to learn more about electronic governance, how we are going to govern various electronic data. So, let us understand about the legal recognition of this electronic governance. One is of the electronic records. For that, there are various terms to be used which have been defined under the Act. the terms like what we mean by electronic form, what we mean by electronic form evidence, what is access, what we mean by computer network, what we mean by computer system, what we mean by data, what we mean by communication device, which can be in the form of computer or any electronic device in the form of say cell, mobile, a PDA, etcetera, etcetera. So, various communication devices can be there, it can be CD, it can be earlier days there was a various other devices like then comes the pen drive, etcetera, then comes function, information and information asset. So, what are the functions of computer, what we mean by information, what all things are covered under information and what we mean by information asset. All these things are defined under the law. Now, once the electronic data has been generated with the help of the computer or any electronic device and a digital signature has been made, a subscriber is having the private key. Now, it should be verified with the help of public key. So, that is how we are using the private key and the public key. Authentication of electronic records where we are having asymmetric crypto system and hash function to be utilized for that. Now, if there is any compromise in private key, the subscriber has to communicate it to the certifying authority at the earliest. Use of electronic records and electronic signature in government as well as various agencies of government has been very common after 2000. And retention of the electronic records are very easy because it can be retained for a long time because it's a secured records. So, no need of having paper files where you need the storage, where there can be rats who can come there and spoil those records. In this case, it is on the computer where it is not possible for spoilage. Of course, there are cases of virus in the computer and all, but antivirus things are available and hence it is possible to have a secure records. So, well, once the certifying authority has approved your digital signature or electronic signature, it is satisfied with all the documents that you have given for that, it is going to give it in the public gazette. There are no rights conferred on anybody else. Delivery of services will be provided by the service provider. Audit of documents will be done by the legal authority and it should be maintained in electronic form. Validity of the contract form through electronic means, again you know how for how many years it will be valid. Of electronic signatures, they should be signed. It means that affixing of his handwritten signature or any mark or any document which is as good as that. So, electronic signature is as good as his personal signature or any other mark, or it can be a thumb impression or whatever, it is as good as that. So, it is totally valid. With this, let us understand about various electronic records. What are the attributions of electronic records? Electronic records means data, record or data generated in an electronic form, or it can be even in microfilm or computer generated microfilms as well. So, all kinds of electronic devices, one can generate the electronic data in PDA, in mobile, in CD, so on and so forth. Mode of acknowledgement of electronic record is such whereby we can have the meaning of addressee who has sent that. Time and place of dispatch and receipt of electronic record through email or through any other means, whenever we are sending, usually it is immediately it goes to the other person and it is dispatched. While in some of the cases there are intermediaries where they are storing it for a while and then sending it to the receiver. on the mainframe computer at times. So let's understand about attribution of electronic records further. Now, liability of intermediary is that if he has conspired or abetted or aided or induced, whether by a threat or promise or otherwise, after knowing about used to commit unlawful act by government, fails to expeditiously remove such kind of data or disable access to any of the receivers to the material on that source without vitiating the evidence in any manner, otherwise he will be punished. Let's understand when he is not liable for this kind of things. One is when the subscriber has directly sent it to that person, he has already intimated that person that this has been sent, then the intermediary doesn't have the access to change it, to delete it and things like that. So there are certain criteria which has been given under the law. Now, cyber cafe is any facility where access to the internet is offered by any person in the ordinary course of business to the members of the public, which has been defined under section 21NA. There are multiple cyber cafes available in cities and even in towns where people can utilize them if they don't have access to internet at their home or in their office. Of course, they are chargeable, but it is reasonable charge they are taking. So let's understand about securing electronic signature. The electronic signature is deemed to be secure if the signature creation data at the time of affixing his signature was under the exclusive control of signatory and no other person has the access to use this signatory data, right? The signature creation data was stored and affixed in such exclusive manner as prescribed under the law. Secure system, it's a reasonably secure from unauthorized access and nobody can misuse this, and it's a reliable and correct operation, and they have been adhered to generally accepted security procedures defined under the law. Now let's understand about the protection of these data. What are the avenues available for it? Under the government, there is a national nodal agency who looks after to protect your data. Indian Computer Response Team is available under the National Nodal Agency, who for performing the various functions in the area of security, what they do collection, analysis and dissemination of information on whatever cyber incidents are occurring, whereby some problem has occurred at cyber cafe or any other intellectual property. They forecast and alert the cyber security incidents to all the people so that they are not going to duplicate these things anywhere else. Emergency measures for handling cyber security incidents, coordination of cyber incidents, response activities are done by this National Nodal Agency through their staff, and they prevent all these kinds of problems as far as the cyber incidents are concerned.